Welcome to the podcast, From Our Home to Yours, with Nancy Campbell, founder and publisher of Above Rubies.
It's where we learn to forgive in that home.
Hello, lovely ladies. It's such a joy to be with you again today, wherever you are, whatever you're doing in your home. And this is From My Home to Yours. Don't you love that song at the beginning? That song, In That Home, was written by my dear friend Michael Tate, who is the lead singer of the Newsboys. And he wrote that song about his own mother, who has now passed away. And it was a tribute to her and the home she created and how it was always an open home and so many people. Needy and hurting people came into that home to find life and love and the gospel of Jesus. Well, I wonder what's been happening in your home. Since I spoke to you last, we've just had a continual round of birthdays and a baby dedication, which is pretty normal in our large family of so many children, grandchildren, and now great-grandchildren coming along. We also had a ladies' luncheon. Maybe I'll tell you a little bit about that, and perhaps, although we've already enjoyed it, I'll just bring you in to sit around our table with us and just catch up with the joy of it. This was a ladies' luncheon just in the family for my daughters-in-law and close family around. And we do this about once a year because we all live such busy lives that we don't have time. We celebrate all the children's birthdays, but we often don't have time to celebrate our own birthdays with one another. Of course, each wife enjoys her birthday with her husband and her family, but this is something we do together. So we do it once a year, and okay, it's happy birthday to all of us. And so last Wednesday, it was just nine of us sitting around my table here in our home. Three of the girls were missing. Two of my daughter-in-laws were out of state. But each one brought a special dish, something lovely, usually a trim, healthy mama dish. And we sit around the table, and after we've eaten, we'll open it up for each one to share something. We're very big on sharing together because this is what just makes a mealtime. And I think I'm a great believer in that food is not just eating food. Food is also sharing our hearts with one another. It's food and fellowship. As one writer wrote, he said, gathering round the table is eye to eye, face to face, table fellowship. And that's what makes a meal so beautiful. So we opened it up, and because we're all very talkative and outgoing, I usually have to be an umpire. So we started to go around the table. Not everybody just, you know, talking when they like. So we started with Pearl, and perhaps I'll just tell you a little few of the things they shared. Not everybody, of course, or we'd be here all day. Pearlie began to share of just the blessings, just basking in the blessings of God in their new home. Many of you may know that just before Christmas last year, the home they were living in was burned to the ground. They lost absolutely everything that they owned. But praise the Lord, they were already in the process of building another home. And so they were able to move into that. And she is so enjoying it, and loving being a grandmother, entering into this new role of enjoying little Warren Charles. That's Meadow, her eldest daughter, her son. And then we moved on to my sister Kate. Now, my sister Kate, she, I'm so blessed to have her living here. For many years, Kate and I hardly saw one another. We were in different countries of the world. I was back in New Zealand, then we moved to the Philippine Islands, then we came to the States, and she was living up in Canada. But eventually, through circumstances, a few years back, she came to the States too. Kate is a wonderful intercessor who loves to pray. A number of years ago, God put on Kate's heart a burden to pray in the square in Franklin for revival. Now, Franklin is our nearest, what would I call it, nearest yuppie city, because we live out here in the woods in Prim Springs, and we have three little towns around us. One in one direction, it's Dixon. In another direction, it's Centerville. In another direction, it's Columbia, all about half an hour away. But if we travel an hour in, we'll get to Franklin. That's actually our favorite place to go. Kate lives nearer to Franklin. And way back after the Civil War, there was a revival in this city of Franklin. And it happened through prayer. It happened through the prayers of E.M. Bounds and other men praying with him. E.M. Bounds is a man who was, he's no longer with us today, a man who loved to pray. In fact, I think he has written the most powerful books on prayer that have ever been written. If you have never read them, get hold of them. You can just get them off the internet. Of course, I am a great believer in not so much reading about prayer, but actually praying. I believe if you want to learn how to pray, you don't read books about how to pray, you pray. But if you want to be stirred up in the ministry of prayer, to read E.M. Bounds is just so challenging. And Kate read about the revival that happened in Franklin, and she just felt, oh my, we need another move of God, another revival in this city of Franklin. And so she began, she asked others to join with her, and she has a few who join her each week. So every single Friday, lunchtime, she goes to the square in Franklin and prays for revival. If other people come, she prays along with them. Kate has been faithful to do this year after year, rain or sunshine. There have been times when she was the only one who turned up, but she still prayed. In fact, one time she told me, she said, I was the only one that day. God put it on my heart not just stand there and pray in the square, but to actually kneel down. She said, I felt rather embarrassed, but I obeyed the Lord and knelt down, the only soul person, and cried out for revival in Franklin. Well, Kate's blessing was that just the other week, a lady turned up to pray with her. And she said to her, Kate, do you know that this is the anniversary of your praying in the square? It's the 10th anniversary. And I've just come, I want to join with you again today as we celebrate this anniversary of praying for 10 years. And Kate said she was just so blessed, because she hadn't counted the years. She had forgotten how many years she'd been faithfully praying in the square. But she realized God had not forgotten. God had been counting the years, even when she hadn't been counting. And so she felt so blessed that God and encouraged her, and he was saying, "Kate, I've been counting the years. I've been watching you pray every week, rain, hail, or snow." And so she shared that encouragement. And I know God's going to faithfully honor those prayers. We don't know how many more years she'll have to pray. Maybe it'll be a few months. Maybe it'll be more years. But God has heard those cries. Well, who was speaking next? It was my sister-in-law, Judy, all the way from New Zealand. And that's why we had our luncheon this time when Judy was visiting us, so that she could be part of it. She's married to my only brother, whose name is Grant. Of course, we say Grant, having come from New Zealand. I know that most Americans say Grant, but I can't get used to saying Grant. So, of course, I call him who he really is, Grant. And Judy began to share. She's here on her own because, sadly, my brother is no longer able to travel. He's younger than me, but he has developed Parkinson's and he's no longer able to travel. And I'll get on to that story in a little minute, because this is what Judy shared with us, what she's having to face now with this new season in her life. But before I do, I have to tell you another story about my sister-in-law, which is quite amazing. Judy is a twin. Her twin sister is Jan, and they are absolutely identical twins. When I can remember when Judy would come to our home way back in the days when she and my brother were courting, and sometimes Jan would come too, but we wouldn't know who was who. I mean, they were just so identical. Well, praise the Lord, they were identical, because if they weren't, well, we may not have known Judy today. Because way back then, they didn't really kind of check so diligently on the babies. And somehow, there was another set of twins that were born at the same time in the hospital. And for some reason, nobody knew that it happened at the time, but these twins got mixed up. These twins were about 20 months or so, maybe nearly 2 years. And one day, Judy's mother was wheeling her twins down the street in her pushchair, as we call it in New Zealand, just pushing it into the shop, and there she meets another lady with twins. Wow, that's so exciting. You meet someone else with twins. I know, because I also had twins. But anyway, of course, she goes up to them, and oh, before their eyes, they see something drastic. Because one of the twins in her pushchair looks exactly like one of the twins in the pushchair of the other mother, and vice versa. These mothers looked. They realized something had happened. Because they were identicals, it was so marked. Here were these two sets of twins, but with two different mothers, one with one with the other. Can you imagine that happening to you? Well, of course, they had to go and get checked, find out which twins belong to each family. And they had to face the most traumatic experience of giving up a baby that they thought was theirs, that they thought belonged to them, whom they had loved and just were bonded to completely. Now, my sister-in-law, Judy, she was the one who was with the other mother, and she had to be given back to her true mother. And then her mother had to part with this baby whom she loved. It was a most traumatic experience for all. Fortunately, Judy's parents were very godly people, and God gave them great strength to handle the situation. And Judy didn't know about this herself till later on in her life, in latter years. I mean, not when she was really older, but when she was just grown up. But she never suffered one little emotional stress in her life. If you could see my sister-in-law today, she is the most got-it-together person you could ever imagine in your whole life. And I believe that's because of the parents who were able to embrace this new baby, which was theirs, but begin to pour out their love on this baby and bond with this little one. Sadly, that didn't happen in the other home. And this we have only found out in very latter years. Because it was such a sore point, and when Judy did find out, she found out through her grandparents, she was never allowed to talk about it with her parents. They wouldn't talk about it. In fact, when Judy and Grant, my brother, were courting, I'll never forget this mealtime. And they came and had dinner. You know how it is when you get the two families together. And so her family came to have dinner with our family. And interestingly, her father had been groomsman at my father's wedding. And then they had just parted ways all these years until now these two were courting. So my father's there at the table, and he just puts his foot in it, and he says, "Wow, that must have been a pretty terrible time when those twins were all mixed up." Oh, my. You could have cut the air with a knife. And her father said, "We don't talk about that, thank you." And that was the end of the conversation. It was only when her parents passed away that Judy wanted to find out, who was this woman who was my first mother? And so she was able to track her down, and she shared with us how that when she went to this home in great trepidation and knocked on the door, and this woman came to the door, and she said to her, she said, "I'm your Susan," because that's what they had called her. Wow, this woman, she just ran. She ran into the house screaming, "My Susan is here, my Susan is here, my Susan is here." This woman had never, ever, ever got over losing that child. And in fact, when Judy was able to meet the other twins, and then they discovered for the first time what had happened, the twin who had been given back, it was the first time she could understand why she was never accepted in the family. She was rejected. She wasn't loved. She was never even hugged. They couldn't accept her. So it was a terrible thing that happened in that other family. And so anyway, that's the story of my sister-in-law. And but she is still amazing today. It didn't really affect her because she had wonderful parents. But anyway, so as we're all sharing about our lives, Judy began to share about facing life now with her husband who has Parkinson's, because my brother and his wife Judy have always been the most adventurous couple in the world. And they have traveled and they have done exciting things with their family. They were just wonderful parents. And then as their children have grown up, and of course their children have just left the shores of New Zealand. Two of them live here. And so we're blessed to have Melissa, her daughter, here with us. And they're 11 children and soon to be 12 because Melissa and Cal are in the process of adopting a little Down syndrome baby from China. They're no longer able to have any more. They're blessed with 11, praise the Lord. And so now they're adopting this little baby. They're going to call her Jewel because all their children their names start with J. So Melissa lives here, and their other son Levi lives here, and another daughter lives in Mallorca in Spain. So, of course, they've had to travel to be with their children. And now, Grant can't travel. And he just can't go too far away because Parkinson's is not only physical but very emotional, and you can't cope with too much. And so now all their plans of visiting so much with their children who live overseas and doing other wonderful things together. They've always had the most glorious marriage, and they've just wanted to just enjoy these wonderful retiring years together. And now Judy, who's still so fit and full of energy and full of adventure, is stuck. Well, she came this time to see her family here, came for 3 weeks, leaving Grant. Praise the Lord, her twin sister and husband live right next door, so they were able to look after Grant while she was away. But most of their plans have had to change. And she was just sharing how that she's had to come to this and accept this season of her life, and accept this situation with her husband, not to be bitter, not to be disappointed, but to embrace what's happening now and to make the most of this. And so she is just, of course, she loves to be useful. So there is an old people's home just down the road from her. And she goes down there and she cuts the hair for these people, and she goes and helps when she can. And she just loves to make herself useful. And of course, she's there to support her husband. But I thought it was such a beautiful thing to just to see her attitude and to see how, without disappointment and bitterness, she is embracing this and still full of joy and making the most of her life. And so, of course, we continued around the table, and I won't go on with all the rest of the stories of everybody else, but you can just imagine what a beautiful time it was. And of course, we laugh, and of course, we cry. And these are wonderful times, wonderful memories. And I would encourage you, dear wives and mothers, to make memories in your family. Make things happen. It's so easy to just go along in the busyness of life and everything we have to do and forget to make memories. Oh, just always be thinking of special things that you can do, special meals that you can make, special functions you can create to make happen with your family, or even to bless others outside your family. I have done so many different things over the years, I remember. And also I used to find, even when I was raising our children, of course, who are all grown now, but when I was raising them and I'm in the home, I found that my home was the most powerful place to touch people for God. I have a home. You have a home. Oh, yes, it's a home. It's a sanctuary for your family. But it's a home to bless others. And you can impact hundreds of lives. I'm sure we have impacted thousands of lives all throughout the years in our home. I remember one time I got an idea to put on a function for the older people in our community, the over 70s. So I got with a few friends, a few other mothers with their little children, and said, hey, let's do something. Let's reach out and bless the older ones, shall we? And actually, this time it got so big that we couldn't even do it in the home. I have since done others for older people in the home, but this one turned out so big we had to do it in our church hall. And we got everybody involved. We got young people involved going out in their vans and in their cars to go and get these old people from the nursing homes, and everyone who was able enough to get into a car. We invited them to this beautiful luncheon. Oh, and then we got people in the church excited, and we got them to cook the most beautiful food and the most beautiful cakes, and we put on a spread like a wedding feast. And then when it was all spread out, I thought, oh, goodness me, what are we going to do with all this food? We will never eat it all. But you cannot believe it. All those dear old people, oh, they had never seen a feast like it for years. And do you know what? They ate every little bit. The food was gone. They just loved it. And then we put on a little concert for them. We got our children to do things, to put on items, like if they could sing, or they could get up and recite some memory verses, or they could play their instrument. Old people love to see the young children doing things, and so we put on a beautiful concert for them. But you can do that in your home. You can invite a couple of older people to your home for a meal, and then you can have your children practiced up to put on some items for them, sing a song, say a poem, whatever. These are beautiful things you can do to bless others outside your home. And so always be thinking of new ideas, creative ways to do special things as a family and special things to reach out beyond your family. I think of that wonderful scripture, and I'll close this session with this scripture, 1 Timothy 5:10. And here Paul is writing to Timothy, and that he's talking about all the widows. There seem to have been so many widows in the church, and Timothy didn't know what to do with them. And so Paul said, okay, this is what you do, Timothy. All the widows who have children or grandchildren, they must care for them. They must look after them. That's still God's plan today. Not putting our old people off in homes where we don't have to worry about them, but looking after them, bringing them into our own home. But there were still some widows who had no one to look after them. So he said, okay, if they are true widows, they're 60 years of age and over, and they have lived a certain lifestyle, I want you to look after them. You can care for them and provide for them from the church. So here it says, this is the lifestyle, well reported of for good works. If she has brought up children, God always puts first things first. The first thing is she has brought up, she has embraced children, and she's brought them up, she's fed them. Actually, that's the word for brought up. Technotrophio. Technon, child. Trophio, to feed, to nourish, to pamper with food. That's all part of our mothering. Feeding, 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 cooking, cooking, cooking. Never despise it. It's a fantastic. It's part of what you do. But then it goes on to see this heart of this woman that reached out even beyond her children. If she has lodged strangers, her heart was open in hospitality. Her doors were open to invite people into her home, to sit around her table for a meal, to stay the night. She had a big heart. And of course, once again, it entails feeding. You can't invite people to your home without feeding them. And then it says, if she has washed the saints' feet. Well, back in Bible times, when they came into the home, they washed their feet because they'd been walking the dusty roads with their sandals. And so that was also bringing them into the home, feeding them. And washing the saints' feet talks about reaching out to the lowly ones and the needy ones. And it goes on to say, also, if she has relieved the afflicted, you can't relieve those who are needy and poor and afflicted without giving them food. In blessing people, in opening your home, and making things happen, it all entails food. So, just enjoy making food is part of what you're meant to do. It makes wonderful memories, and you can make your home so exciting. Well, let me pray. Dear Father, I thank you for all these precious ladies listening. I pray that you will give them a vision for their home. I pray that you will put on their heart just creative ideas of things they can do in their home to bless their family, to bless so many needy people outside their family. And Father, that you will make their home a place where people feel your presence, and where they find you, and where they know that you are real. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.